It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Are you a big brain of the beautiful game? Prove it with the great new app that'll test your football knowledge to the limit. Name That Player. Download the Name That Player app today and race against the clock to identify the Premier League players purely from a list of the clubs they've played for. Put your football knowledge to the ultimate test with the Name That Player app. Available right now for iOS and Android from the App Store and Google Play. Name That Player. Can you beat the best?
Shoot the defense, the best podcast in the world. We're at it.
Especially being a club legend, it's just totally disrespectful. And like I say, it's just a lack of respect, lack of class, and a hope to get relegated and liquidated.
Jan, do you want to do that voice of your barber so we can guess which nationality he is?
Are you ready?
Sounds like a really bad porno, mate.
And the fact that we had now taken our country and put our country on the map of world soccer, being the first African nation, the third world nation in the whole world to win an Olympic gold medal in soccer, you know, it was unbelievable. And with very young players, so it was good.
Yeah, but I've seen misses like... You
but
know,
that wasn't a miss.
Misses? What he misses, he stopped his mate from scoring it.
Hello, welcome to a special edition of Shoot the Defence. I'm your host, Del, and my co-host, as ever, is Rodri Giggs. How you doing, Rod?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. Seems like I've spoken to you every day this week.
Yeah, I think I've spoken to you more than I've spoken to my missus. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. Well, we've got a special guest this evening. It's none other than former Leicester, Liverpool, Aston Villa, Birmingham, Wigan, and Newcastle Jets. Oh, and England striker, Emil Heskey. Emil, welcome to the show, mate. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, it's an absolute pleasure. And, you know, we've got a lot of Liverpool fans listening to this, and I'm sure they're very excited to hear what you have to say. But before we talk about your time at Liverpool, let's talk about your autobiography. It's called Even Heskey Scored. Yep. And I know there's a sentence in the Amazon synopsis that reads, Emil began one of Leicester's favourite sons as part of Martin O'Neill's swashbuckling misfits. Now, am I right in assuming that there are a lot of untold stories in the book?
I'm not saying untold stories in that sense. To be honest with you, it was more to do with about myself and where I came from and how we rose as Leicester to be what I call the best pub team in the world.
Great stuff. So, can you tell us about the early years of your career from junior school through to the academy level?
I actually preferred athletics. Athletics was my thing back in the day. I can't remember when I actually started to... Well, I joined Leicester at 9, so it must have been around that time that I started to enjoy football a little bit more than athletics. But athletics was my first love, to be honest. And then once I started playing football on a regular, that's when it just started to kick on from there. And I was obviously good at it and went and joined Leicester 9, which was called Centre of Excellence. It wasn't called Academy. You go down twice a week, Tuesday, Thursday, and you just train and enjoy yourself. And then it just, over the years, it just kind of, the groups get smaller and smaller and smaller until it's like a main squad. And just went on from there up until 16, where 15, where I started playing with the 18s, and then 16, where I signed my YTS.
Okay, great stuff. So, let me get this right. Was Julian Joachim in the academy with you?
No, he's older than me.
He was older.
He was about 4 years older than me.
Okay.
So, when he was in the first team, I was youth team.
Okay, fantastic. Okay, well, what can you tell us about Martin O'Neill's man management and the work he got you doing on the training pitch to get the best out of you?
To be honest with you, we didn't... one thing that he did, he concentrated on us only. We never really focused too much on the opposition because we knew what we could do. So we installed that we need to focus on ourselves, get things right ourselves, and we'll be fine. Concentrate on set pieces and things like that. So, and he managed to get the best out of every single player that he took under his wing. You know, he took Robbie Savage from Crewe, Neil Lennon from Crewe, and they were good players, but, you know, taking them to that next step and giving them that platform. For myself, he just gave me the freedom to go and do what I want, but go and enjoy myself while I'm out there on playing. He didn't give me too much instructions. It was basically go there, go on out, get on the ball, turn, run at players. When I first started under him, I was playing left wing at first, so it was easier. But then he was telling me, when I was playing up front, he was telling me, make sure you turn and get at them, scare them. So that was basically it, really. And if you speak to any of the lads at Leicester when I was there, and they'll say the same thing. It's that man management to give you the belief that you can go into every game knowing that you're going to be at your best and you're going to win the game.
Absolutely. And Rod, we've spoken about man management, ironically, this week about Arsenal, and it is a huge factor in developing players, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you, really. What was it like for yourself? I mean, when you was like 17, 18, breaking in for the first team, what was it like for obviously your YTS teammates and the people who were the mentors that brought you through and helped you through them times?
I would say we had a 16th, under-16th coach, Kev McDonald, who was actually ended up at Villa with me as well. He was a really good influence, a massive influence on myself, because installed certain characteristics in us all that I carried throughout my career. Hard work. The first thing you do is hard work. Another thing is when you win your individual battles, and then you go and help your mate. Them two things always stuck with me while I was throughout my career. And then obviously when you got into the first team and everything, that I had like the likes of Stevie Walsh and Matty Elliott, Tags, Spencer Pryor, people like that, senior pros that actually helped me a hell of a lot. And this is why I say senior pros have a massive, massive role to play when it comes to young kids' performances and careers.
Joe, it's remarkable you say that, because that was actually going to be my next question. It's going to be about the blend of youth and experience, because I spoke to Steve Walsh a few seasons ago and he spoke about the actual youth and experience that Martin O'Neill got into the squad. And, you know, I know that Tony Cottee was a big influence on you on the pitch. And what about Ian Marshall and Steve Walsh?
Yeah, Ian Marsh was just a character, to be honest with you. But a good character to have around. You need a little bit of a blend in the change rooms, don't you? Marsh was that character, a good character to have in the dressing room, to be honest. And Walsh was the leader. He was the go-to guy if you needed anything, kind of sorting out. And he was our man mountain and our captain.
Mm. I've seen Ian Marshall's tweets. He's ruthless.
Yeah. He was like that in training as well, to be honest.
I can imagine, mate. Well, you moved to Liverpool for £11 million in 2000, and that, I believe that's a club that you supported as a kid. So when you first heard about Liverpool's interest, did you make your mind up there and then about wanting to join them?
Yeah, the interest came from a long time back. I think the interest came from about when I was about 18, and I left at 22. But obviously, once I think we just won the League Cup, beat in Tranmere, and that was the third cup final that I got to with Leicester, second time winning it. And there was a decision to be made on what I do next, in the sense of, do I stick it out for another season or do I make that break and try and push myself, really? And I decided that that was as far as I could go. And I wanted to challenge myself a bit more.
Yeah, I can imagine. And I know Stan Collymore moved to Liverpool in the early 90s from Forest, but he didn't really live up to the expectations. Can you tell us the weight of expectation involved when joining a club with that stature?
It's huge, and you don't really realise it until you actually get there. You know, I'm from Leicester, so I was born and raised in Leicester. I didn't know anything else. I moved in March, went to the press conference. Everything happened fairly quickly. Went to the press conference. At the time, I was sponsored by Puma. And I rocked up to the press conference in a Puma tracksuit and a hat, Puma hat, thinking I was doing my bit for Puma, and got caned for not wearing a suit. But you realise that certain institutions, they expect you to be a certain way when you turn up and rock up every time. So, but how was that to know? I'd never left Leicester.
Yeah, absolutely. And Rod, obviously Liverpool and United, there's a lot of similarities. They obviously forget the size and the success. When you talk about stature, what's expected of a player in terms of their behaviour?
Well, yeah, we see that with this week, with Paul Scholes mentioning with Freddie Ljungberg, with his first game, how he felt that he should wear a suit because certain clubs have got that tradition, that history, and you don't know, like Emil says, until you go into these clubs and you realise the fabric of them. So, yeah, what was it like in that period of Liverpool? Did you feel within yourselves and in the group that you should have really pressed more for a league title? Because you did win a few things in that period.
Yeah, and that was the only one that was kind of got away. But we finished, I think the second season we finished second in the league, but we're still quite far behind, and that was the one that kind of got away from us. And that is basically the longevity. That is the one where the consistency of a full season, not necessarily a cup match where you know, it's kind of crash, bang, wallop. This is more consistency that we just couldn't get. But again, we were up against a great Man United team and a wonderful Arsenal team as well at the time.
Fantastic. Well, at Liverpool, we played alongside some top players, and you were part of that treble-winning team. Can you tell us about that 2000-2001 season?
Yeah, it was a phenomenal season. It just everything just you know when everything just clicks for you, especially when it comes to cup games. Everything just falls into place. It's funny because we played 60 plus games that season, which was crazy. That's two seasons in one. But playing them back to back games, we actually enjoyed it. And having the success that we did was amazing. We never thought of going into that season that we would have that much success, but it was fun.
Mm. And you played alongside Steven Gerrard, yeah. Robbie Fowler, Jamie Carragher, three Scouse legends. Yeah. Now, for the benefit of our Liverpool supporting listeners, what was it like playing alongside them? Because they seem like larger-than-life characters to the fans anyway.
Yeah, look, the Scousers are in general anyway. But they were the fabric of the team, really, of the squad, because they're local lads. They're born and raised there, know what it means to put on that shirt, to don the shirt, and the pressures that come with it. And they ran with that, and they were fantastic for the club. Robbie was an amazing servant for the club. One of the best finishers, I'll say, that I've ever seen. And Stevie, amazing, and Cara, amazing leaders, and they led by example.
Robbie Fowler, every time he played against United, he always get a goal, wouldn't he? He's absolutely phenomenal, wasn't he?
Yeah, I agree with Emil. He's probably up there with Ruud van Nistelrooy, the best strikers I've ever seen. For the potential goal poaching, goal scorers, left foot, right foot, header, he could do it all.
Yeah.
And Steven Gerrard dug Liverpool out of the mire a lot of times, especially in recent history. Huge player he was for the club, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was massive. He was a young lad when I first got there. I remember I was only 22. I was only 22 when I actually got to Liverpool, and I think he would have been 19, 20. But you could see the potential, and he could see that he was going to be a leader. And he had great players around him that were going to help him and help him nurture that in Gary Mack, which is funny because he's obviously taking Gary Mack now with him to be a manager, or to be a coach, sorry.
Emil, what was your favourite Liverpool goal, mate?
It's always nice scoring against Everton. and I managed to score in that game where Gary Mack scored that last-minute winner, which was a phenomenal game as well. It's funny because only he would have seen the goalkeeper edging out like that and had the know-how and the whereabouts to actually sneak it in the near post.
It was Paul Gerrard in goal, wasn't it? Paul Gerrard? It was Paul Gerrard.
Yes. Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Brilliant. All right, let's quickly talk about your England career, mate. 62 caps, 7 goals. You played for the national team during what people call the golden generation, an era that many believe England underachieved. But when you look at the players in that squad, like your Gerrard, Scholes, Campbells, Coles, etc., why do you think it didn't bring any success?
It's difficult to say. At the end of the day, it was great individuals, but we probably never shone as a team to the potential that we possibly could have. Again, I say this now, and when you look at France's team, they had a phenomenal team for my age alone. They had crazy players: Henri, Trezeguet, Anelka, Galas, Silvestre. Usman Darbo, there was a lad called Cisse who played for West Ham for a little bit. Then you added in Zidane, Pires, Vieira, Petit, Will Todd. Who else can I carry? Do you want me to carry on?
Blanc, Desailly, the list goes on, doesn't it?
yeah, exactly. So when you look at that, that's probably the golden era for football, to be honest with you. But we were up there with them, but we just met our match when it came to that sort of team.
Rod, we've spoken about England at international level, and obviously, you know, you being a proud Welshman, you've seen how well Wales did the last Euros. What's your take on England's golden
generation? No, I was going to ask you, Emil, when you was in there, it's obviously recently documented, did you feel that divide of them club loyalties when you it come down to them last semi-finals, quarter-finals, that you didn't have that team spirit that you need in them periods?
I don't know if I felt it on the pitch as such like that, but definitely off the pitch in the sense that if me and you were, and it's funny because I obviously went there and I was representing several different clubs at the time. So I went there with Liverpool and I'd be sat with the Liverpool lads, but then when I left and came back with, I think it was Wigan, kind of on your own because there was no one else from Wigan. So I understand what people are saying.
Great stuff. And you've probably been asked this a million times, but was the 5-1 in Germany the best international game you played in?
Yeah, definitely. 100%. And the thing is, when everyone actually knows exactly where they were when that game was being played. Mm. And it's the game I get stopped for in the street all the time. You know, it was just a phenomenal game. And the funny thing is, because of the significance of the game, and we lost the last game against Germany at the old Wembley against Germany anyway, and then we were 1-0 down, but it just seemed like everything just clicked, and you have one of those games that everything just goes for you. And yeah, it was just the funny thing is we never got to really celebrate it properly because we had another game.
Well, Germany never get a hiding at home. And I seem to remember Rudi Völler, the look on his face at full time. And it was the same expression that he had when Rijkaard spat in his hair at World Cup 90, you know. And he was just absolutely shell-shocked. And I think that kind of gave Germany a kick up the backside in terms of their own progression, because that's when they resorted back to the youth academies and rebuilding. So I think that game was the shock that they needed.
Yeah, I think it was actually. I think it was probably for about 2 to 3 years, maybe even 4 years, that they were rebuilding, and they were using the youth and they were letting them progress, knowing that in 4 years' time they're going to have some team, and it worked.
And the final question from me, I don't know if Rod's got any, but that celebration, can you actually DJ?
I had some decks and I was doing a little bit, yeah, but I was a bedroom.
Ah, okay. That's cool because...
Confidence weren't there yet to go a little bit further.
Well, we know Martin Lana is a big garage DJ and he messaged us yesterday and he was like, oh, I met Emil Heskey in Napa a few years back. Well, a long time before that. But yeah. So were you a garage head or are you a garage head?
Yeah, I was. Yeah, I don't know. I did like garage. That was that era, so can get you very hyped, especially before a game.
Absolutely. Fantastic. Rod, you got any questions, mate?
No, I just want to finish off. Obviously, you're doing there's a TV work. Now, what's the plan? Have you done your badges? Are you going to go into coaching? Are you
doing I haven't done my badges. I've done the first line of badges, obviously, level two. I'm doing the TV punditry, and plus, hopefully, I'll be starting back at Leicester in some capacity. The thing is, you can always go if given the chance. You can always go into a club and get your badges while you're there. Because the first line of my badges I got went out while I was at Bolton anyway. So it's about getting the opportunity to go into a club and work in there and really make a difference.
And it'd be a great time to go into Leicester now because it seems like everyone's buzzing there. Brendan Rodgers has just found a new deal.
It'd be a great time, 100%. He's done fantastic. And we knew what Brendan's all about. At the end of the day, he's gone to Swansea, fantastic. Gone to Liverpool, done fantastic. Gone up to Celtic and done fantastic. And he's doing fantastic here again. So we know what he's all about. That's why... there's a lot of people eyeing him up for bigger jobs, but he's got a huge job. He's got a huge platform there and a blank canvas to really create something at Leicester. They're moving into a new training ground, £100 million pound training ground, and the facility is going to be phenomenal. And he's going to be given funds to build on top of what he's got. He's got a good core bunch of young lads who are international level, and he can build on top of that.
And it seems like, you know, I know there's foreign owners, but it seems like it's a real family club, even though the tragic things that happened in the last year, but it seems like a real family club, is it?
Yeah, it always has been. Always has been, you know, from when I was there. The fans are all at one with us and everyone knows everyone at the training. And it's funny because even at the training ground and at the ground, a lot of the old staff are still the ones that are from when I was there.
Oh, brilliant. Well, it'd be a good then if you actually go there and coach him for the kids, the academy kids, for someone who's been there and done it and gone through the system. It'd be a good platform for them if you do go into that.
Yeah, definitely. You always want to give back, don't you? So it'd be nice to do that.
Brilliant,
fantastic. Well, Emil, with your teams first and second in the table, you've got the best of both worlds, haven't you?
100%. Yeah, 100%.
Great. So I'm not going to ask you if it's Liverpool's year because I know every former Liverpool player isn't saying anything.
I'm not going to answer.
That's fine. You've answered everything else. That's great. Well, Emil, before I let you go, mate, can you just tell our listeners where they can buy your book? And
Amazon and most of all the retailers have it, stock it. So why not go out and buy it and give it as a Christmas present to someone?
That's a stocking filler, mate. I'm gonna send one over to you, and hopefully you can get one signed for me for a friend of mine. That'd be great. Great stuff. Well, Emil, thank you ever so much for your time, man. Really, really appreciate it. I hope we can have you back on sometime soon.
Yeah, definitely. Thank
Cheers,
you,
mate.
Guys.
All the best with everything. Cheers, thank you very much, man. Christmas. Thank you. Cheers. Take care.
Cheers. Bye.
Right, so that was our interview with Emil Heskey. Hope you guys enjoyed listening to it as much as we enjoyed recording it. He's an absolute gent and really appreciate the time that he took to talk to us. One more thing before we wrap it up. Quick plugs. First of all, the D&D Footy Factory. You can listen to their show every Saturday morning on Top FM, 10 o'clock. Fantastic listen, gets you proper hyped up for the weekend's games. Low Limit Football, if you're a fan of world football, US soccer especially, South American football, Roberto Rojas and Joe Uccello doing a fantastic job. There's the Chronicles of Aguna, which Harry Simeon, a good friend of the show, is doing, an Arsenal fan. Perfect for every Arsenal supporter. There's a Two Rash Challenges podcast. Two of our friends from the United States. One's a Liverpool fan. One's a Newcastle fan. Lots of banter there. You guys will really, really enjoy that show. Can't forget Three in Midfield and Tap In Football. Two more football podcasts, which you will absolutely love. And our friends, Ball Chat podcast over in Atlanta. So that's it from us, guys. You can follow us on Twitter at Shoot Defence. So until next time, take care.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.